This meeting is now being recorded.
thank you for those of you that are joining the call today. Just as a friendly reminder, please remember to mute yourself when you are not speaking, just as a courtesy to the speakers and other people that are on the call. We should be getting started here shortly, and just as a reminder, this call is being recorded.
Hi, everybody. We'll be starting just in a few minutes. 1 second. Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone. This is Fadi. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining us on this first transition facilitation call. As you recall, we had the chance to meet informally in Buenos Aires, and at the end of that meeting, there was unanimous agreement that it's not a bad idea for us to have a monthly meeting to just be on the same page, on the same agenda. This is not a meeting to discuss any substantive issues related to the transition. This is a meeting simply to facilitate our various activities and ensure that we each see the swim lanes that others are in and understand the full transition from a program standpoint or at the program level. And therefore, this is intended to be largely an update call, a call to clarify any questions between the various activities that will hopefully lead us to a successful transition. The agenda for this call was sent to all of us by Teresa as a suggested agenda for today. At the end of today's call, let's make sure this agenda works. If it didn't work, let's make sure we change it accordingly so that when we hold this call next month, it reflects everyone's desires. But we will, after these quick remarks, we will move into a timeline discussion. I think in a moment we will put on the Adobe Room the more detailed timeline. The timeline, as agreed with you in Buenos Aires, was built based on input that we received from all of you individually. So this is essentially an amalgamation of all the input we received from you, and we are displaying it for you in a moment here to discuss. We have with us also NTIA. I think Larry Strickling is with us on the phone. And Larry will just comment quickly on the responses of the community to his letter about the timeline for implementation. Then I think if we could get and make this a regular thing every week, a quick update from the CCWG accountability group, and I believe Leon is representing those chairs today here. So Leon will give us a quick update, mostly telling us whether the timeline as shown on the document we'll display in a moment is still what it is, and if there are any comments or changes from his side that we should know. And similarly, hopefully, we can get the same from the ICG on this call. So that's the plan for these calls, and we'll leave time for any questions or any discussion points that we would like to have. One of the things we also agreed in Buenos Aires is that how this particular meeting, this now monthly meeting, is shared with the community, how we explain what it is, how we disclose its contents, etc., is something we should discuss and decide here today. This way we are all aligned, and it's up to all of you, all of us, how we wish to do that. So in case you do decide to share the full recording of this meeting, we are recording it at the moment. Should we at the end of this call decide we don't want to move forward with full disclosure, we will destroy this recording, but we're doing it in case all of you are ready and feel this is the best service to the community that we share this call publicly. And finally, just to remind everyone who's on the call, this call includes the leaders of the ESOs and ACs. It includes the chairs of the various working groups that have been assembled for the transition. It includes the staff that is working with all of you to facilitate your work. And it includes the board liaisons to the ICG, the CCWG, plus our chairman, Steve Crocker. In addition, we have NTIA with us, given that they have also a critical role and a central role in how we get this transition done. So this is a good place to review timeline, to review high-level actions and activities, and to ensure good coordination between us so that we are successful. Before we get into the timeline, on the Adobe screen now, you can see the slide that I had used in the opening at Buenos Aires, which was a result of our very first meeting in Buenos Aires, where I shared it with you. That slide stands, and I think yesterday, after the congressional hearing, which Larry Strickling and I were witnesses at, this timeline was shared and discussed publicly, and I think we're generally now, despite the fact .com has not become law yet because it hasn't passed the Senate, but if we assume it does become law, then this middle phase two, stands as the slide is. If it does not become law, then there may be some slight variations, and I'll ask Larry to say anything if he wishes on the 30-day portion of that middle arrow, but in general, that generally should be the model. So we will get into a second slide that has far more detail than this particular high-level slide, but that high-level slide generally remains right at the moment. The only thing that we didn't add to the slide is related to the end line, the end of phase three, but I'll leave that later when Larry discusses the community response to his letter as to when is the end of phase three. Are there any comments or questions? And I need to hear from you if there is any. I'm going to posit that we're going to make this meeting recording public and available and disclosed to the community. So I'd like to hear if people would like not to have that the recording of that meeting public when we describe to people this meeting is a facilitation meeting and here's the recording, so that we can move quickly through the agenda. So I'll open the floor. Are there any hands up?
Alyssa Cooper has her hand up.
Ms. Cooper, please.
Hi, thank you. I guess I had sort of a related question because Grace is taking notes. I see. I was wondering if the minutes or the notes that she takes, what we would be able to do with those. My specific question was because my co-chairs are not on the call, if we will have the minutes and if we will be able to circulate them to either all of the invitees or publicly, but that's, I was just wondering if I need to take notes so I can, you know, get heads together with my co-chairs later or if the minutes will be available, but that intersects with your question about whether the recording will be available, so.
So Grace is not taking notes and we will not be doing minutes, but the recording is, as the announcer said, the call is being recorded, and should we all agree, if no one disagrees that that recording should be made available to the public, then of course your co-chairs could listen to it and there should be no issue there. Right, Alyssa?
Okay, yeah, that's fine with me. I just I will take my own private notes just for ease of
And since you are speaking, Alyssa, do you have any objection to the recording being made public?
No. Sounds fine to me.
Okay, and are you okay with how I define the purpose of this call? Are you fine with that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anyone have an objection to the purpose of the call as defined and to releasing the recording to the public every month of this call? Are there any hands up at the moment?
No.
Okay, so I'm assuming this is a good, this is a go. Thank you for that feedback. That's important. We will attempt to also do a transcript, but for now we will have the recording, and if we can do the transcript, we'll do that as well. Why don't we go to the timeline, if we can,
sure.
The detailed timeline.
Let's upload that. Great. Thank you.
So this is the same slide you've seen before, but of course updated now.
Right.
So Teresa, walk us through that a little bit, and let's high level make sure people appreciate all the lines and what's there.
Sure, I'm happy to. And then after this call, we're happy to get additional input, and similar to the recording, if everybody would like to get this out into the public space, that's up to the group itself on what they want to do with this next. So on the timeline, this has been updated based on discussions with the different leaderships from the organizations during the Buenos Aires meeting, but of course, if there's any adjustments, we're happy to reflect that. And going to this, we have a couple of the processes, and please note that this is the notional timelines in a working document. The first would be the CWG, the Stewardship Project Plan, and as you'll note, the submission, and congratulations to the whole team on that, the submission over to the ICG was done at the Buenos Aires meeting. So that projection looks like it's on track. And now it's under review, of course, in the ICG. And Alyssa, I don't know, you may have some comments or things with regards to any relevant factors around that. The second line, which is a lighter gold, and I don't know if we can zoom in further for those of you on the Adobe Room, reflects the timeline that had been provided and discussions with the chairs of the ICG on where the ICG is in the timeline and the review, including their public comment period, with the anticipation of having something finalized close to the end of October around the Dublin meeting. The CCWG, which is the blue line, likewise looks like the timeline and obviously the Paris meeting coming up next week will be essential with regards to both the preparations of that work and the providing all the materials to go into the second round of public comment, noting that there's an interdependency there to the naming community proposal on specific elements that need to be addressed in that context of that proposal that goes out. Again, the anticipation is that that will be, based on what we've seen from the community input, ready to be delivered to the board in around the end of October, around the Dublin meeting. That one, the CCWG, has a dependency, as does some of the ICG, with regards to some bylaw preparations. So if we jump down to the ICANN review process, you'll see the notation of where ICANN can provide input into the public process and public comment periods of the respective groups. And, of course, board members are actively following the discussions also in their individual capacity in providing input into those discussions. Based on the .com Act and based on what we've also heard from NTIA, there's a bylaw preparation area that needs to occur upon receipt of the proposals, but getting that information over to NTIA as part of what they need in looking at the final proposal, and they need to receive that, if you jump down to the blue line, as part of their interagency process. And so there's been discussions that have started both with the CCWG to partner with the respective community working groups, and, of course, the external legal counsel to start the thinking around those bylaws so that we can progress in a timely fashion as things get finalized and everything can be ready in a package. And then I'm not going to speak, of course, to the U.S. government process. I'll let Larry talk to that. But that's the overview of the timeline.
Can you show the whole page again?
And we're happy to send this around. And, of course, once you decide it's ready in the context of reflecting any updates from what your observations are based on what's occurred since the Buenos Aires meeting, it's up to this group if they want to put this out into the public or how they want to handle that.
So just before I ask, we go to the next line item for agenda item, I should say, for Larry to just comment on the letters he received from you. Then we will go to you, Leon, and we will focus on your line and have you just give us a quick update slash confirmation if this reflects your view. Similarly with you, of course, Alyssa. But before I go do that, I want to, with the full picture in front of you, and I know this is difficult to read, but we'll send it to all of you, assuming you also want us to publish it, we'll publish it. What is important to view here is some of the dates. So right now, as this stands, it still shows that the CCWG, which is the second line, the orange line, pardon me, that's the ICG, and the CCWG, which is the blue line, both of them will deliver their final proposals to ICANN, who in turn will deliver them to NTIA sometime in the late October, early November timeframe. Could happen in Dublin, but let's say Dublin plus or minus, not minus, plus a couple of weeks or 3 weeks. That's currently where it shows. And if that occurs, this picture, if you go down, please, Hillary, and show the dark blue from the U.S. government, this picture continues to show that if that occurs, the U.S. government 4 to 5 months period will lead us somewhere to a finish of that process by the end of February, early March. So that's what this says today, but of course it's all, there are so many steps that lead us there. With that, I'm going to ask Larry Strickling if he is ready to give us his view on the responses he received from the community to his letter. Larry?
Thank you, Fadi. Can people hear me okay?
Very well. Thank you, Larry.
So, yeah, first I want to thank Alyssa and Leon and the leadership of the ICG and the CCWG for getting us the letters, and it was helpful to have the letters before the hearing yesterday. And what this speaks to is the question of executing an extension of the contract past September 30th. This issue came up in the hearing yesterday. For those of you who followed it, you know that I said that based on our first review of the information in the letter, it was apparent that we were going to need to extend the contract at least through next July based on the information we had received. And quite honestly, I think to make sure we build in a margin of error here, because we, as Fadi pointed out, the Dot-Com Act hasn't been enacted yet. We're not sure exactly what the environment will be for the review of this after it's delivered to us. We are going to be discussing with ICANN an extension likely to go out as far as the end of September next year. What this means is that we would take what is currently a two-year option for extension and break it up into 2 1-year options, which would mean that if we get to the end of next September and everything's done, implementation is complete, then the contract could end at that point in time. If it's not, then the option we'll have at that point is to extend it another year. But obviously, we're trying to target a date that fits best with what you all are projecting, the schedule and the amount of time it will take to get the implementation complete, assuming we can get it approved in the time frame that we've laid out, the 4 to 5 month time frame, which again assumes that the Dot-Com Act is enacted by Congress sometime this year. Since the contract expires on September 30th, we have to have all of this done in the form of a contract modification before that period. We're under an obligation to notify Congress 45 days before we make any changes to the contract. So we are going to be moving fairly promptly to start the administrative process of executing contract modification. I want to emphasize that that's the only modification we're going to make at this point in time. The amount of bureaucratic effort that's involved even in doing something as simple as modifying the option period typically takes 90 days in the federal government, but we don't even have that 90 days, so we're going to have to do this on a faster time string, and as a result, we're all focused on just making the one modification that's necessary to allow us to extend the contract for some period between 9 months and 12 months, and we'll get back to people when we finalize on that. So that's where we stand on the contract extension, and all of this was made public yesterday in the course of the hearing with Congress. So it's been reported widely in the domestic press here in the U.S. that tracks this thing. So that's the update on the contract.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you very much. Let me just make sure I repeat some of the key things I heard, and I want to make sure we're in sync on. So if you look at the screen right now, the screen shows this green line, which is the implementation operationalization line, kind of ending at the earliest at the beginning of July and potentially going as far as September. And that's the same line that will determine when the contract will end. I believe that is aligned with what you just said, that you will extend the contract, but that contract will be extended either to go up to July or potentially up to September, which means a year extension as opposed to a two-year extension. The second thing I heard you say, Hillary, if you could go back to the detailed line here. Yeah, if you could blow that up, I want to show that line. This line on this blue line here is the steps to extending the IANA contract. I think that's a minor detail, but I think I just heard you say 45 days. So this line, which now shows it goes from July 1st to August 30th, should be fixed to end on August 15th because of the 45-day mark. So sometime between the beginning of July to mid-August, we need to have extended our contract either by 9 or 10 or 12 months as opposed to currently 2 years. And the third thing I heard you say is because the modifications to the contract are not the easiest thing to get done, you would like the modification of the contract to be limited and restricted to the change of the extension timeline from 24 months to somewhere between 9 and 12 months and nothing else. Are these the three things I just heard you say so that I confirm we heard you correctly, all of us?
Yes, except that it's not that I like for the modification to only be on the extension. I think I was clear in saying that is the only thing we're going to modify. So we're not entertaining any other additions to the modification at this point in time.
Okay. Thank you, Larry. Before we move to Leon giving us some insights on the specific timeline related to CCWG, are there any questions or any hands up at the moment? Or if someone is not in Adobe wishes to speak? Okay.
Yari has been able to join
us. Oh, good. Yari is with us as well as Bruce. Thank you both for taking the time. Okay, why don't we focus on the CCWG line and allow Leon to look at some of the detail. This is the orange line. We're now in July 2015, so please scroll a little bit and make it that's fine. Yeah, stop there so he can see the end of that line and make sure he is comfortable with these details. Leon, would you like to give us some insight? And if people have questions for Leon, please chime in or raise your hand. Leon.
Thank you very much, Fadi. This is Leon Sanchez. Our timeline is on track with what we have on screen. As you know, next week we will be holding our face-to-face meeting in Paris. And our aim is, of course, to build our second proposal, which hopefully will be the final proposal, and after that we will be launching our second public comment period, which will last 40 days as indicated here in our timeline. And after receiving the feedback of that public comment period, we will be, of course, refining our Workstream 1 proposal so that we can deliver to the chartering organizations for review and hopefully approval by delivering by the beginning of October and have them approve it by before Dublin so we can deliver our proposal to the board at our Dublin meeting as it's clearly stated here. So so far the timeline remains the same from our side, and we will continue to update you regularly if anything changes. And, of course, I'm open for questions or comments.
Thank you, Leon. I have a first question for you. Have you assessed with the other chairs or yourself what possible risks to the timeline are there, and are there additional areas where we could support you or do things so that we can mitigate some of these risks for you?
Thank you very much, Fadi. This is Leon Sanchez. Yes, we haven't discussed in detail, of course, the risks that might that we might face with regards to the timeline. We are mindful of at least a couple of risks, and this could be, of course, not in consensus within the group. We have had very thorough discussions as to which kind of organizational or corporate model we would be suggesting to migrate ICANN. And this, of course, has been something that at times feels like we're getting a lot of traction into one model, but then things change. So I think that our main threat with regards to the timeline is not being able to reach a consensus on a certain corporate model for adoption. And the other risk that we might face is, of course, the new issues emerging from public comments. There have been some new emerging issues from public comments, which we are addressing at this moment. And hopefully this won't be a motive to extend our timeline, but so far we need to be mindful that there are these issues, and these are also a risk for the tenant.
Okay, thank you, Leon, very much. Any hands up or any questions to Leon about the CCWG?
No.
All right, we're good then. May I, if I could add a question, Leon, myself. You are facing, obviously, a very important meeting in Paris, and there are going to be a lot of hands as well as efforts. It always amazes me, but how much is going to descend to help you and make sure we advance the ball in Paris. What is, at the moment, what is your expectation and hope as chair to achieve in Paris? What would you say that would be a good outcome for you in Paris?
Thank you, Fadi. This is Leon Sanchez again. Our expectation and our happy ending for the Paris meeting, if I may say so, would be to achieve consensus with regards to at least the corporate model that we would be proposing or incorporating into our proposal. And this would, of course, allow us to put in or set up a final proposal, which carries out the consensus of the large group, and then just publishing for public comment. So the final, the happy thing for us at Paris would be to have consensus on our proposal so that we can go to our next public comment with a proposal that's already been passed the CCWG consensus. That would be like the optimal scenery for us.
Thank you, Leon. Thank you. Okay, if there are no other questions, can we ask please for Alyssa to do the same for the ICG project and also here in front of us? Alyssa?
Sure. Thank you, Fadi, and everyone. I think looking at this timeline that we have in front of us, the ICG is on track with the parts that are under our control. We had a very productive call yesterday to assess the proposal that we received from the CWG, and had an in-depth discussion of the proposal. We have a few action items emanating from that discussion, but we are on track to continue with our assessment of the combined proposal, which will take place on our mailing list between now and July 15, and then we'll have a call on July 15 to hopefully complete that assessment and then get ready to prepare the combined proposal for public comment. One thing I will say, looking at this timeline, we haven't included in the ICG firm dates for when we will go to public comment, nor the exact length of the public comment period. Those are details that we will need to work out. So we might want to reflect that as the start and the end dates as TBC, because they still are TBC at the moment, although I expect to have them, well, I don't know if we'll have the dates nailed down until just prior, but we will have a decision, I think, on the length of the public comment period shortly. But otherwise, everything else is in the pipeline after that, and so, you know, the rest of the timeline remains as is, as we will await the receipt of public comments. Just one other kind of comment on the timeline, and then I will have one topic to raise, but we'll stop for questions. I'm not sure the sort of dotted lines and arrows that go back and forth. I'm not, especially this first set, the red ones and the orange ones, I'm not exactly clear on what those are representing. They might be representing additional work for the communities, maybe, was my thought, which is definitely the case. We may have additional work for the communities this month. We may certainly have it after the public comment period. We might have some in the interim where if we receive comments and we need the communities to address them, then we may pitch those to the communities. But in any event, that's a detail that that we can work out with Hillary. So that's I'll stop there. I have one question for the group, but be happy to take questions on everything I've said thus far.
Thank you, Alyssa. And Hillary's here, so she's hearing you, and it would be good if you guys could communicate on that detail. Could you also, if you could please address the same question we asked Leon about risks you see. You also very carefully raised the point that there are some parts of this, quote-unquote, not in, under your control directly as ICG. Could you just point these out so we're clear on what you meant by that?
Sure. So at each step in this process, we have identified the amount of time that we hope it takes, but I think at each step it's possible that it could take longer. And so for the next step, which is the combined proposal assessment, we as the ICG are aiming to have it done next week on our call, but if there's a lot of details to work through, if we can't come to consensus, if there's just, more material than we can manage in doing the assessment next week, then it might take longer, and that might push back our timeline to be able to go to public comment by the end of the month. We have, as ICG members, I think, been very committed to following along in the community processes the whole time. We've had, two parts of the proposal for a very long time to evaluate, and we've already evaluated their compatibility with each other. So we've done, I think, as much work as we could do to try to accelerate the process, but you never know what can happen when people go in for a deep review. So that's what I would say is the first step. If we have questions for the communities that arise out of that assessment process, we have to take those back to the communities. If those, imply changes in the proposal, or imply, any other work that could require the communities to go back and seek further consensus in their own groups, then that could potentially take longer than the sort of two-week period that we have planned from next week until the public comment launch. So that's another kind of possibility that, again, we've been trying to review everything along the way to avoid that, but you never know. And then I would say the same thing about once we receive public comments, they may raise new issues related to the proposal. They may raise questions that we want to take back to the communities for clarification or potentially for amendment of the combined proposal. And so that's another spot, in this kind of September timeframe where we've allocated some time for community work, but not very much. And so if it's, anything too substantial, then I think there's a risk there that the timeline will slip a little bit. And then lastly, I would say, and this is something that came up on the ICG call yesterday, is that we have committed, as you can see on the timeline, to seeking confirmation from the CWG that once the CCWG has concluded its Workstream 1 work and sent its proposal to the chartering organizations for approval, once that step has been taken, we have committed to seeking confirmation from the CWG that the output from the CCWG meets its requirements, and we need to hear from them that it does. And if for some reason it does not, then we will be in a position where the transition proposal is not can't necessarily be considered complete because the requirements of one of the operational communities won't have been met. So that's another area where there's potential for slippage in the timeline. And then I guess I should also say, I know that I said that was the last one, but there's one more, which is that if we receive public comments to the extent that we think that we need to work with the communities and have the communities potentially amend the proposal, and those are extensive enough that we think we need a second public comment period, then that would certainly extend the timeline significantly. So all of those are, that all of those have the potential to rear their heads at different points in the timeline and potentially create some slippage.
Excellent. this is very helpful to all of us, certainly to hear to the team. Any questions to Alyssa? I know you have a question, Alyssa, if we could hold it till the any other business, which is the next section, but I just want to see if there are any questions anyone has to Alyssa about the ICG work.
Well, Fadi, this is Larry. I want to talk to both ICG and CCWG about public comments, if this is a good time to do that.
Certainly, please.
So typically in our process in the United States, before an agency takes any action, it's expected that it will run a public comment process of its own. We question the wisdom of doing that in a situation where these proposals have been put through a tremendous amount of public comment already, and there's more coming up. So one of the things we are considering doing, and I'm interested in reaction from the leadership of both groups in response to this idea, is that at the point at which you put your proposals out for public comment, that we would take some action at our end to basically publicize that public comment process and urge commenters to submit comments into your process. I doubt that we'll be reaching out to anybody who's not already fully engaged in this, but at that point, if we are questioned why we didn't follow the typical process of getting public comment, we'd like to be able to say, well, we in fact urge people to provide comment at a better time, which is while the proposal is still being shaped, instead of just giving us comment at the end of the day when there's really nothing more to do except give it an up or down vote. To that end, though, it'll be very important that in seeking public comment, the ICG and the CCWG put into the comment questions, and I think this is happening anyway, so I'm hopefully not saying anything new. It'll be important to build the public record on how these proposals satisfy our criteria, because we'll have to rely on that when we do our certification to Congress at the end of our review after we get the proposal. So just keep that in mind, and if you weren't already planning to seek comment on that, and I'm virtually certain you were already, that'll be an important thing to make sure is included.
Anyone wishes to comment on certainly Alyssa or Leon or anyone else about the proposed approach of Larry? And I will ask Hillary to capture that as soon as Larry and his team have clarity when they will do that, to capture it on this timeline as well, so we can see when the U.S. government will do that. Any questions for Larry?
Well, let me be clear. I mean, we aren't setting up a separate public comment process. All we're going to do is once your process, the ICG and CCWG, open up their comment periods, we will put out an appropriate notice that basically directs the community to submit comments into that already existing comment cycle. We're not trying to layer onto this any additional comment cycles, and we're not suggesting people send all their comments to us. We're just saying people ought to engage in the process that's already set up, and we're going to try to find a mechanism to accomplish that.
Excellent. Any questions
so
to
this
Larry
is,
on this?
This is Alyssa. I was just going to say that I think that's a great idea, and from my perspective would welcome more publicity from the U.S. government side or from any other vantage point. So I think that fits in well. The ICG has a communications plan that we are developing in conjunction with the launch of the public comment period to make sure that we are reaching as far and wide as we possibly can to solicit comments on the combined proposal, and certainly reaching beyond the traditional audiences and people who are accustomed to attending ICANN meetings and so forth. So I think that would be a really good addition to the overall plan to do outreach and publicize the ability for the public to comment. And to your second point, Larry, we are absolutely planning to ask the public for input about how the proposal meets the NTIA criteria, and we are working through the details of that right now.
Thank you, Alyssa. And Leon typed in the chat room that he is also supportive, Larry. He thinks it's a great idea. Okay, we're going to close on the timeline with one comment, and then we'll open this for any other business. If I could ask you, Hillary, to focus on the bylaw preparation line. This second red line there that says bylaw preparation is just, at the moment, it's just a straight line with simply showing that bylaw preparation will be going on, and it shows very clearly when the bylaws should be adopted on the bottom right so that Larry can then move forward with the certification. However, we don't have today detail on how the bylaw preparations will occur. The good news is that the CCWG has published an initial draft of steps towards that. The board has engaged directly with them and is discussing with them some amendments to that to make it work with the board process. So today, this red line is kind of blank. I think by the time we meet in a month, this red line will have a lot more detail. So everyone is clear how the bylaws will proceed to hopefully a successful finish when Larry needs to certify they've been adopted. But again, today that line is just there as a placeholder. We only know its end point. With this, I'm going to open this for general, any other business or questions and answers. And please let us know either in the chat room or when you speak whether you want this particular chart, given that the ICG and the CCWG just confirmed, as well as the U.S. government, that what's there right now reflects where things are, except for the change we will do to your line on August 15th for the contract of IANA, that if you want this chart published, along with the recording of this call for the public. So I open it, and I'll start with Alyssa, because she had a question already for the AOB. Alyssa?
Thank you. So this question came up during the ICG call yesterday, and it relates to the plan for the cooperative agreement with the root zone maintainer. And I understand that that is to some extent outside the scope of everything that we have been discussing here. But, you know, we have been reviewing the NAMES proposal in light of the NTIA criteria. One of those criteria relates to the security and stability of the DNS. And so the question came up as to essentially what the plan is as far as implementing the requirement that has been stated in the CWG proposal about the need for there to be a mechanism to ensure that the PTI can have the change requests for the root zone implemented by the root zone maintainer on an ongoing basis in a timely manner. And this would seem to be that, you know, there's a requirement there for that mechanism to be in place, coincident with the transition. But there's not a lot of, public information as far as anyone on the ICG knew, about, you know, what the plan is, for, agreements to be signed or modified or transferred or whatever, may happen, with the root zone maintainer. So I was just curious if anyone on this call has more information about that. We, at the ICG, plan to sort of write it up as a topic in our assessment of the proposal against the NTIA criteria. But if there's further information about that, it would be useful to share. Thank you.
I was talking, but I'm on mute. but this is Larry. I was just going to respond to Alyssa's question with the fact that we have asked ICANN and VeriSign to get together and look at what would be involved in eliminating the U.S. from its role in terms of authorizing the changes to the root zone file, and we're awaiting that plan from the parties.
Okay. And is there a timeline associated with that?
Alyssa, the U.S. government has asked us to cooperate with VeriSign on this. We are working with them on that and expect to give the U.S. government an initial draft of that in the next week or 10 days.
Yari has her hand up,
please. Yari?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask further from Larry or anyone else if, I mean, the timeline for that part of it is one thing, and it's great that it's in progress and being done. But I guess the question from our perspective is, are we expected in the ICT, for instance, to integrate that part, or is that completely outside our domain?
We are not expecting
ICG. Part of the public comment.
So this is Larry. We're not expecting ICG to integrate that into your plan.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Is there any other business or any other questions before I close this call and just make sure we have consensus on what to do with the slide? And are there hands up?
Yari has raised his hand again.
Oh, Yari, please go ahead again. Sorry.
Apologies for speaking again. I have another issue, and it isn't necessarily something that we need to deal with here, but I just wanted to highlight that's been an ongoing discussion, and that's the matter of the trademarks and domains, and there's been some discussion, and various entities have made statements and such, and the CWG, you know, made it very clear that whatever they had in the proposal annex is not part of the proposal proper, and it's not binding in any fashion. That's great. However, I think the situation is that we have one of the three communities, the RIRs, who have specific requirements regarding this in their formal proposal, and then we at the IETF didn't really have a position on that. We were not setting new requirements on that, but we were later asked if we were okay with the particular approach that they wanted to push, and we were. And then CWG is kind of pushing this into the implementation phase. And it's an interesting case in the sense that this means that, you know, normally we have an implementation, we have a specification phase and an implementation phase. But now we have something in the implementation phase, if done sort of in the wrong way or against the wishes of some other entity, then that might actually end up affecting the specification. So it's not that we necessarily have to do anything about that right now. But let's keep this in mind, that we have a situation where some of the proposals actually speak to this topic and have specific requirements, and that, you know, those specific requirements, I guess, need to be handled you know, as proposed in the implementation phases on all three communities somehow later. And that's fine, but I hope that's understood by everybody.
Okay. Would anyone like to comment on this? I don't think it's a question. You're just raising a point, Yari, and we appreciate it. Anyone wishes to comment?
This is Steve Crocker. Two pieces of comment.
First of all, there's a lot of discussion about trademark and relatively less focus on the domain name IANA.org. From an operational point of view, my attention is completely focused on the operational control of IANA.org as a domain name and the issues of legal control of the trademark is completely secondary, because I think it has far less impact no matter what happens, and there's plenty of time to sort things out. Whereas if operational control of IANA.org is screwed up, then the impact is felt rather quickly and directly. The second thing that I'd want to say is that I see, I guess, four parties involved in this discussion, of which ICANN and its IANA function is just one, and the other three are the three operational communities. The easy case is when we're all in agreement, and the next easiest case, which is not easy at all, but it's still easier than the other cases, is when the three operational communities decide in unison to do something else. Things get much harder if the three operational communities not only are in disagreement with ICANN, but one or more of them is, but also in disagreement with each other. We don't actually at ICANN have much to say about any of that, except that, as I alluded to before, as long as we're the operator for the IANA.org domain, then it's essential that that be operationally stable. But we don't have any claim on the intellectual property involved. We don't. There are no legal issues from where we're standing, and anything that's comfortable to the community is comfortable with us. With again, just emphasizing the proviso that while we're the operator for IANA.org, we need operational stability of that name.
Very well. Thank you, Steve. And again, I'm going to ask Yari if we could to table this, because we're out of time, and we should really, if possible, not use this call to address issues. The issues should be addressed in the ICG and the CCWG and the various places where the communities are all present. But thank you, though, for asking the question, at least putting the issue on the table. This call should be purely just for us to coordinate things with the... Now, as we close this call, I saw several comments in the chat that are okay with us releasing the recording and this chart, and we will do that every month as we move forward. Is there any objection to that at this stage? We should hear it from anyone.
This is Alyssa. Would it be possible, because we discussed a couple of edits to the chart during the call, not only the extra 15 days for NTIA, but also the dates for the ICG public comment period being changed to TPC, and then this, I'm still unclear on the dotted arrows. So could we say, could Hillary perhaps send the updated version around, and also so that people who are not on the call can see it, and just give us 24 hours or something before publishing to make sure that it looks right to everyone?
Absolutely. I think this is a grand idea. We will do that. Hillary's here, and she took notes. She'll send them to all of the people who are on the call and who are supposed to be on the call. And if she doesn't hear back within a day or so, we'll attach it to the recording and make sure everybody can see it. Thank you. That's a good idea. Any other objections to this that we should hear? Sorry, I'm told Leon wrote something about a hearing in November. Could you read me the comment? I can't
hear. Sure, so I'll read Leon's comment. He says, it's a procedural minor question with regards to us having to attend a hearing in D.C. by mid-November, so far as I recall from our meeting in VA.
I see. So I'll let Larry maybe chime in on that. But just to be clear, Leon, this is not a congressional hearing. This was simply something that Larry mentioned, that after he receives the proposal, and assuming he receives them in October, there is a chance, there is no certainty here, that he will invite many of the working group leaders to come to Washington for a chance to engage them in a public way. Larry, do you want to say anything about that now, just so people have any sentiment from you on the plan? And it was not in December, by the way, in November. It was in mid-November, you're right. But anyway, please, Larry.
Sure. So, no, again, no decision's been made. Some of this will depend on the schedule when we finally get a proposal. But we have told Congress yesterday at the hearing that I got questioned a lot about what will our process be once we get the proposal, and I didn't provide too many specifics, but I did provide some, and I urge all the working groups to go back and access that part of the transcript when it's available to see what we did say. But we did. I did talk about the need for the process to be very open and very public, very transparent. So as part of that, we have been thinking about whether or not to do a public session at some point, after we've had the plan for a few weeks so that we've had a chance to digest it, to bring the architects of the plan and, well, or at least the facilitators, the leadership of the groups, to come in and be able to present their plans in a public meeting, be able to go through a certain amount of questioning from us to help us fill in the record to support this. And assuming we were to get the plan by the end of October, we had thought possibly the third week of November following the internet meeting in Brazil would be a good time to do that. But it's all contingent on when everybody finishes their work and gets a proposal to us. And if we start getting pushed into December and the end of the year holidays, it's going to be much harder to schedule something like this. But it's in the back of our minds. We're thinking about it as one way, again, to demonstrate how we are going to go about evaluating and reviewing the plan. So I would say it's more likely than not, but it's not scheduled yet. It can't be scheduled until we have a firmer notion of when we're going to get the plan. And so we'll keep people apprised. But, yeah, I think I had shared at least the concept with many of you in Argentina just to get reactions. And I think on the whole, in fact, I'd say unanimously, I didn't hear from anybody who thought this was something they didn't want to participate in. So I take that as good input, and we'll continue to work through our planning for this process once we get the proposal.
Larry, just taking your permission, since this is an item that you're thinking about, it is an item that has timeline dependencies, should we even show it in even a tentative light on the 90-day review so people at least know? Because as you can tell, people are, should we show it but then shift it as the timeline shifts?
No. Because it's at this point, it's simply an idea. It's nothing that we have settled on doing, and I think it would create some unfortunate expectations if we started showing it on a timeline and then decided not to do it.
Understood.
I think until we decide to do it, we shouldn't be showing it on a timeline.
Understood. Appreciate it. That's good to know, so we know what to add. Okay, we are over our time. We're going to meet again in a month. Are there any changes to this agenda, given that this was our first meeting and we were trying to see if this works? Was this a good use of everybody's time? Is the timeline as you see it okay? Any comments that would make this a better call? You could speak or type in the Adobe room so we can be helpful and supportive. Okay. I want to add one item to this agenda, and that's an item to make sure the chairs speak to me and the staff and the board about any additional support they need. So this would be a good place for them to say, we'd like this kind of support, we need more of this, we need that, because then we're all here and hands on deck, and this is a place to manage resources. Teresa's here. All of us are here to understand how we can serve you better and facilitate this process better. So let's make it a standing part of the agenda. This way, if there is something, it comes out here. Okay, and Leon said the agenda works. We add an item on bylaw drafting coordination. Yeah, so as we clean up that red line, it will become just like you did an update today, and Larry, in a way, gave us an update on his section, and certainly Alyssa did on hers. Starting next month, our board members, Bruce or Steve or Kuo-Wei, one of them will give an update on their red lines as well. So we will add that. And then, of course, with time, as the implementation green line starts becoming active and we're starting to implement some things, then we will have the implementation teams at ICANN, whether it's David Conrad or Sam or Teresa, also speak to that. But we're not there yet with those particular lines. Thank you, Leon. Alyssa says, okay, that's a detail for her. Okay, thank you, Alyssa, for that. We'll capture this. Okay, I want to thank all of you for your time, for your service, and for everything we're doing to move this forward. I hope you can write me privately if you think this could have gone better, if you were shy to speak here on this call, but please, we're doing this to serve you. We're doing this to facilitate this. This is by no means a call to manage anything or to direct anything or to solve anything. It's just to make sure we're coordinated and facilitated. Thank you all very, very, very much. Have a wonderful summer, and the rest of you going to Paris, all the best in Paris. Enjoy the croissants and hopefully the consensus. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.